this episode of What's in a Game, we play Quadrilateral Cowboy, where there's no quads or cowboys. At least ones with cowboy hats. Hello, and welcome to What's in a Game, a podcast from Fountain City Frequency where the nerdiest couple you know take a deep dive into video games, both old and new. I'm Data Masters.
And I'm Cody Newell.
Cody's giving me a disapproving face because I slightly tweaked the intro.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well.
Well, apparently that's just his face tonight.
That's just my face all the time, I think.
Oh, God, what have I gotten myself into?
Oh, whatever. You've been around long enough at this point where you know what my face looks like. But we're not here to talk about faces. We're here to talk about video games.
I mean, there are faces in video games, Cody.
Oftentimes there are. And right now is an exciting time for video games because it's E3 going on right now in L.A.
E3.
The Electronic Entertainment Expo.
There are three E's. E3. Woo!
We've been watching some of the press conferences and looking at all the news and the huge amount of games coming out in the next couple of years.
Yes.
So, Dana, what have you been excited about?
Well, obviously, the Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer was pretty cool.
Yeah, they gave a release date for that.
I don't care about Frozen.
Really?
I said it. I'm sorry. It just wasn't my favorite movie. But it's okay. There were a lot of other exciting things, and I'm excited to play the game, and there's a release date. It is January 2019, so I'll be pushing that Kingdom Hearts 2 playthrough back a little bit.
I have a feeling it's going to get delayed even further than that.
Don't! What is wrong with you?
I'm just saying,
knock on wood.
Square can't keep to hardly anything. The Final Fantasy VII remake has been a complete and utter
mess. Yeah, but I think they're in the final phase of this game. If they released a trailer with the English dub,
yeah,
I think they're pretty far along.
Though, weirdly enough, they didn't have... like, the trailer that I watched or the footage I watched, they only had the voices, none of the sound effects, which was really, really strange. So it was just, like, Sora going, like, bah! Or, like, Goofy going, like, uh-huh! Or, like, weird. It was just very bizarre. It was like,
I didn't
okay.
notice that.
Look out!
But I had to say the graphics looked really great. I'm excited to see what that ends up being.
Please note the look on his face was one of pure apathy while watching the trailer, so I don't quite believe you.
I'm still excited.
Oh, it's fine. I was also pretty excited about Sable when you showed me that.
Yeah.
That looked dope.
That's like a if you mixed Journey with Studio Ghibli and Mobius, the comic book French comic book artist, if you mixed all those things together.
It looks trippy.
It looks really great. I have no idea how that's going to turn out. Made by a really small team whose name I cannot remember at the moment, but look up Sable because that trailer really impressed me. The art style.
Yeah.
It's like super, super clean, cell shading with like really thin lines on everything. Really, I was impressed by that, and that looks like just the right amount of like retro future set in like a desertous setting with, you know, huge temples and things. Really excited to see what that ends up being, and that's coming out next year.
Very interested in Sea of Solitude.
Yeah.
It's dark, weird, creepy. I'm all about it.
That also had kind of a cel-shaded art style-ish.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me of something, and I can't remember fully what it is right now, but yeah, really, I think that looked interesting. I'm not sure what kind of game it's going to be. It looked kind of like light platformer with some kind of horror elements, but yeah, that was interesting for sure.
My brother is pretty... interested in Jump Force.
Yeah, Jump Force.
Which I only saw like 5 seconds of the trailer. That's an exaggeration. I saw like 20 seconds of the trailer. And can derive from it that it is a fighting game based off of the Shonen Jump manga
series.
So those characters from like One Piece and Dragon Ball Z and Naruto. So that looks like fun.
Yeah. I still need to play the Dragon Ball Z fighting game that they just came out with, Dragon Ball FighterZ, even though I'm terrible at fighting games and will likely get destroyed by everyone I play. It's still just the look of those games, like when it looks like the actual anime or manga, like that's when I start to say like, okay. And like finally games graphics are getting good enough to where they can look that way.
Right.
And that really excites me.
Speaking of excite, what caught your fancy?
Well, really quickly, because I want to talk about a couple of things that really got me, but I liked what I saw of the Resident Evil 2 remake, which
I've
been waiting for that for a long time, but knew that was coming, so that wasn't that much of a surprise or anything. Also, the fact that Nintendo basically announced every single character from every single Smash Brothers game is going to be in Super Smash Brothers Ultimate is hilarious and the funniest thing in the world because they literally, I mean, that game is going to have like 50 characters plus. It's going to be stupid.
Yay.
But it's going to be great because I'm excited to play that. I'm super excited to play that on Switch. Also Last of Us Part 2, even though it is incredibly, the violence in that game that they've shown off so far is intense
and
grotesque. But the trailer they showed had a very nice moment with Ellie and another character sharing a kiss, and I liked it. I enjoyed it.
So sweet. Oh, Ellie. I think they should be terrified of you.
I'm also really looking forward to Dying Light 2, because I really liked Dying Light 1, but the story in Dying Light 1 is really dumb, and it seems like Techland is actually trying to make some like branching paths with Dying Light 2. So I think if they can pull that off, that'll be super exciting. But the main things that I was really super excited about, Sable, we already talked about that. Holy shit, Cyberpunk 2077. I'm so stoked for that game. And after listening to podcasts, I listened to Waypoint Radio and they saw like an hour long demo. Man, am I super excited for that game. It's going to be incredible. It's by the developer of The Witcher 3, CD Projekt Red. And man, they just have basically unlimited time to make it, and they've basically given themselves free reign to just like develop it until it's ready, which probably means that it's not going to come out for another year or two, which kind of sucks. But I'm just so stoked to play a cyberpunk role-playing game that actually seems to have a lot of care and a lot of craft put into exploring cyberpunk, because I feel like even though cyberpunk is pretty natural for video games, it's not necessarily explored fully, so I'm super excited for that.
This city's always got a promise for you. Might be a lie, an illusion, but it's there, just around the corner, and it keeps you going.
And last thing that I'll talk about is Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, which is the next game from the Dark Souls developers at From Software.
Oh boy, here you go.
It's like samurai. It's like they played, so there's a game called Nioh that was based on the Dark Souls model of like combat, but it's not like, made by those developers.
He's like wringing his hands right now.
I'm so excited. But it's like the developers played Nioh and said, like, hell no. Like, we're going to make an even better game than you. Now, I don't know that for sure, and I'm not trying to talk shit on Nioh because it's actually pretty good. But Sekiro looks really cool, and it apparently has, like, stealth elements and seems to have a different combat style than Dark Souls, which I'm just excited to see what they do next. So those are the main things. Tons of other things that I could talk about, but we're not here to talk entirely about E3. We're here to talk about Quadrilateral Cowboy.
Really quick, you know my biggest takeaway from E3?
What?
I have not played enough games, and I don't have enough time to play all the games.
And now you're going to have even less time.
I know.
Because there's going to be even more games.
No.
Like, February and March 2019 are going to be outrageous.
January for Kingdom Hearts and Resident Evil 2 Remake. Ugh, we're going to die.
That's just more episodes for this podcast.
More episodes for this podcast, but send help because the hosts are dead. So, Quad Cowboy. That's what I'm calling this game.
Yeah, Quadrilateral That's, Cowboy.
Anytime I Googled something about it, I was like, Quad Cowboy.
It is a little bit of a tongue twister trying to say it at times. So this game...
developed by Brendan Chung.
Blendo Games.
Blendo Games. Was that our second episode?
Second or third, yeah. We played Gravity Bone and 30 Flights of Loving, which probably two of his most well-known games, though. Brendan Chung is he has put out a lot of games, and he's one of the higher profile indie developers out there for sure. And this was his game that he made after 30 Flights of Loving, and it took him like 4.5 years to develop, and it's quite different than Gravity Bone or 30 Flights of Loving.
It is.
Despite sharing the same universe and also sharing a lot of the same like aesthetic. In this game, you play as a character named Poncho, who, mm-hmm. along with her compatriots Maisie and Lou, I think is their names.
Yeah.
They're a trio of hackers who, in this sort of alternate 1980, have access to these computer decks that they use to hack into, or they use to plan out heists that they're going to pull. And the game, it's kind of hilarious because the game says their computer decks are like cutting edge with a 56K modem and staggering 256K of RAM, which is like by today's standards laughable. But this game really takes a lot from books like Neuromancer, if you've read that, by William Gibson, kind of takes a lot from Cyberpunk, but sort of adds Brendan Chung's sort of absurdist, sensibilities and his really great ability to create a kind of just absurd world. It still has the kind of blocky head characters from Gravity Bone and 30 Flights of Loving. But throughout, the gameplay is quite different. In fact, like, it shares almost nothing except for the first person view with those other games.
Yeah. Same art style, which I like. Same interesting choices in music. You have a deck. A vinyl deck.
Yeah, a vinyl, portable vinyl player on your character the whole time.
Carry around and you can play music if you'd like. Aesthetically, it's all really, it's fun. It's just like his other games. Like, I enjoyed the way it looked. Gameplay-wise, it's like an introduction to coding.
Yeah.
That's how I felt it was. Because hacking things in this game, you have to type on your deck different commands and codes and all of that. Mm-hmm. And so that was interesting, but it at times felt like it slowed the game down because you're never actually like moving things around. You're placing things and sometimes you'll like push against something, but you're not physically picking anything up, it feels like, other than your items.
A lot of your interaction with this game's systems comes through your ability to plan out commands through the computer terminal. So, you know, at first it's pretty easy stuff of like, you know, you'll type in like door9.open(3). So you execute that and a door opens for 3 seconds and you can get through it. But it starts to get a lot more complex as you get, you know, just you have to start to piece together strings that are much longer and have like wait commands in between. And eventually you get like the ability to remotely execute commands that you've saved in the deck. It gets really intense. And I think you're right though. A lot of your interaction is through that. It's through kind of reading the environment and sort of thinking through, okay, how am I going to play these systems off each other? Which is very different than Gravity Bone and 30 Flights, which were essentially just like, we're going to take you through this first-person experience, and you're going to kind of just navigate through these levels.
And, you know, it layers. Like, at one point you get, like, a Weevil, which is a little mini robot you can manipulate.
Really like the Weevil, by the way. And I like its name.
Yeah, it's Weaver. Cute. I think it's a Weevil.
Is it?
And the program's called Weaver.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
You get a portable turret.
Yeah.
That you can control and manipulate where it fires and all of that. And you get a launcher, which will shoot you across to another building.
Ooh, yes.
And I think that's kind of the extent.
You get a couple more things too that add a little bit more, but yeah, for the most part, that's the basics that you work with to work your way through these sort of VR worlds that you're planning. And then kind of on the other side of things, you have things happening in the real world with your compatriots and Impala Solutions. And you have sort of interspersed interactions, or not even really interactions, because there's, like Chung's other games, there's no dialogue, there's no real... Yeah, I don't even know if I heard any characters do that hardly. Maybe towards the end or something.
No,
but,
towards the end.
But a lot of it comes through, you know, kind of just walking through these environments, looking at details, looking at little objects in like each character's apartments as you visit them and things of that nature.
And that was probably the most interesting part, mm-hmm. was getting to look through everyone's home.
I don't know though. I really love the core gameplay of this, and I love the hacking deck that you have. I think that's like one of the coolest things about this game. Because this was built using the Doom 3 engine, which at the time Doom 3 was like notable because there were a bunch of these like computer terminals throughout the like space station that if you approached them, you could then like seamlessly interact with them. And that's like the technology that Brendan Chung used for the deck. And it's, I had to say, like the fact that he thought that through and was able to make it work at all, I'm like, wow, that's super cool.
It's definitely interesting. I'm interested in learning a little bit of coding.
Mm-hmm.
So this game was like a great way to like kind of bridge the gap. If anybody knows of any other coding video games that make things interesting, just I control the Instagram account. Just slide in my way. Let me know. But in terms of like reward and like payoff in this game, it wasn't, I don't know. At times the levels were so short that it didn't feel like much of a payoff once you got it. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I think the game is really concerned with novelty and giving you something new to play with, and kind of takes you through each, you know, new gadget you get pretty like pretty closely. Like it, you know, it doesn't leave you a lot of room for failure at times. And yeah, there are times where I feel like the game is almost, and this isn't like spoiling anything, I feel like the game is missing like two or three levels. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's missing like two or three more things to like give it a little bit more length. And I hate to say that because this game, compared to Brendan Chung's other games, is much longer. Like this,
yeah,
this is a much beefier game
it's
as is.
Like 4 hours.
Yeah, like I would say 4 to 6, maybe a little bit more if you really got stumped. But
and there's less storytelling in this game.
Yeah.
There's not much of a story you can tell in these levels where you're casing out a heist.
Yeah.
The levels are pretty bare.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of, like, there's no, like, interaction with other characters, really. Like, there's a robot you interact with who says, like, really stupid motivational things. But,
right. Nothing indicating like who you're stealing from, or like what they might think or anything like that, or like the morality behind stealing. It's still established in the same world as 30 Flights of Loving and Gravity Bone, so like very very dystopian, poor, like everybody's kind of living in a warehouse of apartments and stuff like that. So like I never felt like, well, these characters stealing. Like, it's pretty obvious that if you need to make, like, any sort of living,
right,
you've got to be working some sort of black market.
Yeah. It's an absurdist cyberpunk dystopia. Like, instead of being a very serious one, it's, like, a cyberpunk dystopia where everything is kind of stupid.
Right. But it left me with a little less, like, emotional investment than, like, 30 Flights of Loving or Gravity Bone.
I think a lot of the enjoyment of the story, I think you have to really just enjoy the concept of like three like young women band together to become computer hackers together, to become, you know, almost like computer spies.
Right.
Which I think that's great. And I like going to the apartments and seeing like the boyfriends or the hookups or whatever, like sleeping and like looking through all the stuff or whatever. I like those moments of like being able to peer into their lives. And I don't know. I still think I agree with you. I think there isn't as much story to dig in here, and there isn't as much mystery to dig into here as there was like 30 Flights of Loving. But I think I ended up enjoying it more than you did. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Probably. And I played this in a very like short time span. So it was a lot of like typing in things and figuring things out.
Yeah, it needed almost a little bit more room to breathe. And I think it needed a little bit more. It needed like one or two more major moments outside of the hacking. A couple more like story beats, I think, mm-hmm. to really come together.
But I will say, like, where I felt like the story was a little more lacking than his other games, I loved the exploration and the gameplay and trying this like kind of coding and hacking. Because it is very clever and it's very interesting. And I definitely wasn't like, I think it worked, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I think it worked very well. And I think this is something that should be played with in terms of like education as well.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of like how much enjoyment did I find from this game, it was a little tedious setting up my own puzzles at times.
I think your enjoyment is going to come like pretty directly from how well you can get into, like, if you're the type of person that really loved setting up like the mousetrap board game stuff and watching it happen, or just doing that with other things like setting up your own contraptions and whatnot, this is the type of game that would like really fuel that, because mm-hmm. even though it does hold your hand through a lot of it, it does give you a lot of latitude to kind of solve things the way you want. Like, I watching you play, it was really interesting because you did some things completely differently than I did and mm-hmm. wrote some different like lines of code than I did, which was super cool to see. It's like, oh, okay, wow, like this game's systemic nature actually is like real, you know, like you really can have a lot of different modes of expression through that. But yeah, it's a very almost, in fact, I would say the best moments I had were when I, you know, kind of like really chugged through writing a pretty long string and failed a bunch of times, but then finally got it. And it was like, yes, like I finally did this. And like, it like went off without a hitch. And I feel like really elegant for having done this.
Right.
Those were like the best moments for me in the gameplay. Yeah.
Objective complete. To go back to the story really quick, I was disappointed that it didn't go further story-wise because it touched on some interesting concepts,
mm-hmm.
like stealing the brain of these, like, clearly rich coma patients.
Yeah.
Like, clearly rich because even though it was, like, a dilapidated building, they had their own building in the middle of space.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, there were a bunch of very interesting moments like stealing the brains of these coma patients. Like, who were they?
Yeah.
Why? And I get that, like, as the contractors, we're not supposed to be worrying about that. We're just supposed to get the job done.
Yeah.
But it expanded the universe that he introduced in Gravity Bones of 30 Flights of Loving, and I wish I could know more about it.
Yeah, it you're right. It like finally sort of connects some of the dots between Gravity Bone and 30 Flights and then some of his other stuff like Flotilla, which is a space sim, and also like Atom Zombie Smasher and some of the other games that Brendan Chung has done. And it really fleshes this world out in a way that 30 Flights, you just can't get that in 30 Flights and Gravity Bone. They're just too short. You just can't fully get that kind of taste of it. But with this, with like, you know, a good 4 or 5 hours, you get to really soak in the world a little bit more.
And I feel like he's got this story that he wants to tell. And I don't know. But maybe he doesn't. Because at the same time, this world feels like hazy in certain spaces. That's why there's fog like surrounding the train at all times.
I think part of that is like a conscious choice. I think Brendan Chung likes giving people a lot of room to come to their own conclusions. Now, I will say that doesn't necessarily serve him well all the time. Like, again, I think this game could have used a couple more missions to flesh things out just a little bit more.
Or
like,
a I don't, few I don't more even story moments.
Yeah. Like, I don't even need, and we'll get to the spoiler zone at a certain point, but I don't even need the, like, ending to change. I just wanted a little bit extra, just a little bit more to really carry me over.
One thing about this game that I didn't enjoy was it glitched quite a few times on me.
Yeah.
Like, I know you were there the time that I was in the space station, and you're in a safe zone, and you can take the space suit off, and I had done it a few times, and so had you.
Yeah,
and I died.
There's a couple times where you had to have a space suit on, otherwise you'll run out of oxygen.
Right.
But yeah, you glitched through the level, and it killed you because you'd taken off the space suit when you're supposed to be safe
and
indoors.
And it had done that a few times where I had to restart the game. Or, like, restart the level because I was glitching through the floor and then I got stuck.
Well,
and that was a little irritating.
I think that's the consequence of this game just being a lot more ambitious than Brendan Chung originally thought it was going to be. And, I mean, this is literally one dude plus, I think, another guy helping him out with some stuff. But, like, that's a lot with this many systems and this many things going on. But, yeah, that still sucks in the moment when it's like, oh, I'm like, I have to redo a bunch of stuff because I just glitched through a wall. Like, that sucks.
Yeah, it did.
But
like giving Cody my raised eyebrow look. Like,
I'm more forgiving of that, but I understand. I understand getting frustrated at
I
that.
Literally finished this game an hour ago and glitched, which is why I'm still a little salty about it, okay?
Sure.
I'll brush the salt off my shoulders, but it doesn't matter.
Let's go ahead and let's get into the spoilers. It's not going to be like super intense spoilers just because...
This is our 2-minute spoiler section.
Just because the game doesn't have too much story going on, but we are going to talk about the end. So if you haven't played it, just be aware.
Hey, everybody. I needed to take a break. Mainly to thank you for listening to our podcast and this episode. Just a reminder, we could always really use some help getting the word out there about our podcast. Word of mouth is huge. Tell your friends with your mouth about our podcast.
It's hard out here for a pod. You got to tell your friends.
Do it. Also, rate the podcast. That helps us out a ton. It's really important that we get those ratings.
Yes.
Send in your recommendations. Hit us up on Twitter at What's in a Game Pod and on Instagram at What in a Game Pod, or just send us an email at whatinagame@gmail.com. Seriously, send us those suggestions. We'll give you a shout out on the episode.
Yeah, we played A Way Out because Matt Micah said, hey, you guys should play A Way Out. We didn't necessarily like the game, but we gave it its fair due.
We did.
And recommend a game, we'll play it.
And we see Vinny on Westworld all the time now, and that's really fun. Yeah. But send us those suggestions. That's it for now. Now back to Quad Cowboy.
Before we get to the end, I do think one interesting thing about this game that I was thinking about is that this game, 30 Flights of Loving, and Gravity Bone before it all deal with heists of some sort, or all deal with like espionage or criminal actions, criminal missions.
Right.
But it's interesting to me thinking about how like in Gravity Bone, you are like a contractor who's pulling off the heist. Like that is that game. You're actively going on the mission. And then in 30 Flights, it shows you sort of the humans behind the heist. And then it cuts the entire actual action of the heist out and just shows the aftermath. And in this game, it's all about planning the heist. So I just thought it was interesting, and I don't know what that really says about the game, but I thought it was interesting that it was like, I just see this through line with these games, and it's interesting that we're seeing another sort of aspect of this kind of big concept of like, pulling off this sort of espionage.
So what we've learned is that Brendan Chung really wants to rob a bank.
Yeah, desperately.
And this is him planning it out.
And maybe, who knows, maybe he's a mastermind and he's already done it.
Dun, dun, dun. Each level is a heist he's already pulled. Yeah. That's fun.
But I guess one thing I did think about that is that that's very much keeping in line with kind of the subversion of expectations that happens with these games, like Gravity Bone. You know, you think that you're going to be, you know, you're going to chase down the woman that shoots you, but then you round a corner and you get blasted. Right. 30 flights, you think you're going to see the heist, but you never do. And in this game, you never actually get to see the heist. You're just planning it all out in, like, VR.
Right.
Which is interesting. And I'm glad to see him still kind of having fun with that. But yeah, overall story, I alluded to this before, but this game doesn't really have a second act because the first act is sort of bookended with Impala Solutions, the hacker trio, getting busted by the government or whatever totalitarian regime, the government. And so they take off into this like gondola in the skies, which is really nice. And I really love the look of that. But then there's not really like there's not like a second act thing. There's not another interaction like that. It's just a lot of sort of, you know, calm moments between the three characters, between Poncho, Lou, and Maisie. There's not another thing that thickens the plot at all for me. And that was like one thing that I was like, oh, okay, this is a little bit weird. And then very quickly you get like the last missions and then the end.
Right. And I thought it was weird that like the first couple of missions you did, it was you like hacking your way through. And then you're doing some casework for some heists and you play as the other characters.
Yeah.
Pulling off the different parts of the heist that they're good at.
Yeah.
And then it switches back because you get some upgrades to your robotic arms, limbs, and now ribs.
Right.
And you do these missions by yourself again.
Right.
And I didn't really, like, understand why it went that route. And are they really a team? Or is she doing solo missions? Or what?
Right.
That got a little confusing to me. And I was curious about their dynamic as a team at one point. So that's interesting. And again, leaves you with more questions than answers. Especially since some of the missions you went on, there was more than one insertion and extraction point, even though you were the only one playing.
Yeah.
Meaning you should have other team members there. But, it ends with, your character at the very end getting on a train.
Just like you do in the beginning.
Right. But the caboose is your room.
Yeah.
And it's got pictures of you and your friends through the years, and you look in the mirror, and you are now old.
Yeah. Which the game had progressed some number of years, I think, anyways, in between. But
yeah.
But yeah, that was definitely a big jump in, like...
Significant jump.
And it made me question, like, well, what happened? Like, are they still a team? Are they not?
Are
like,
they dead and she's the only one alive because right. They were so old? And it ends with you picking up a photo of the three of you. And the end credits are you walking around this blue screen looking at photographs of you and your friends and approaching... Around the corner, there is a desktop with a computer, and you approach it, and it brings you to the start menu of the game.
Right.
Except it's deleted your save file.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. He always has really interesting ending moments in his game.
Yeah, and it struck me as kind of bittersweet, because before you see the last scene, it's the three comrades together eating...
Ramenadas.
Yeah, ramen and empanadas together.
Which just looked like ramen. I don't get what that was about.
I think it was just some more absurdist humor, but...
and then there was a classic ramen stand, and it looked the same. It's all ramen!
but that moment kind of struck me as a little bit bittersweet and a little bit uncertain. And I will say, like other Brendan Chung games, it did make me... think about, like, well, what is happening here? What happened mm-hmm. with these characters? And it made me reflect on the characters and their relationships together. And I do like the way that he characterizes their relationships to one another through, like, playing, what is that game with the birdie?
Oh, racquetball. No, it's not racquetball. Croquet.
No, it's
croquet.
No, croquet is with the mallets.
Lacrosse. It's not tennis. It's
badminton.
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 They were playing badminton.
But like, I like those moments a lot. And to kind of what you were saying earlier, like, those moments, along with all the details in the environment, along with all of the sort of old music, like you hear Claire de Lune and a bunch of other, like Auld Lang Syne on like New Year's when it's New Year's 1980.
Good old acquaintance be forgot and never brought.
All that stuff comes together really well for me in terms of style. Like, once again, Brandon Cheung just has so much style. And it made me think a lot about the characters. Again, though, I agree with you. Like, I wanted more story out of this. I wanted just a little bit more. Just a little bit more.
I loved the intrigue of Gravity Bones and 30 Flights of Loving.
Yeah.
I just needed a little more from this one.
Well, Dana, overall thoughts on, I almost said Gravity Bones, overall thoughts on Quadrilateral Cowboy.
Try it out. I feel like it gives maybe an introductory look into coding. I don't know. I don't code. I feel like experienced coders would be like, no way. But you have to remember that you start somewhere, guys.
Yeah.
So I'd say try it out. It is a lot of puzzle work with not quite the reward you would expect for how much work you put in at times. What about you? What do you feel? Tell me.
I don't know. I really like the game a lot. I really, really enjoy it because I think it has a good mix of like cyberpunkiness and that kind of tactile, clacky 1980s computer stuff. And I obviously still love Brendan Cheung's graphic design and his style. And I think he's still a really great, like, I think he is a fantastic indie developer. Just overall, I think he's wonderful. I do think this will be hard for some people to get into because I think the coding at times can get a little intense, and I think it will turn people off.
And
I think it did turn people off when this came out 2 years ago. But I think it's the type of game, like, this hacking feels so much better to me than every video game where you do a stupid mini game where you connect a couple of like faux circuits together and like, oh, you've magically hacked the computer.
That's true.
Like, that alone, and just the fact that he applied, you know, like Doom 3's engine to this kind of idea is really cool. But yeah, like, the story is still pretty vague, and maybe even, you know, I would say less engaging than some stuff, at least in 30 Flights of Loving, I would say. So I think if you're willing to really sit down and give it some time, you'll find some rewards. It may not fully come together for you because it doesn't fully come together for me, but it makes me want more, which maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's like that saying when they're like, leave them wanting more, you know, like stop right when they're wanting more. I think that's what this game kind of chases. And depending on, you know, your philosophy on games and how you feel about that, you may not be as fulfilled as others. Some people may really like it, some may not. But I think this game is a super interesting idea.
Thank you so much for listening to What's in a Game. If you liked this podcast at any point, go ahead and rate us 5 stars on iTunes or whatever podcast app you're listening to. Or go tell a friend to listen.
That's even better.
Yes. You can follow the show on Twitter at What's in a Game Pod and on Instagram at What in a Game Pod.
Yes.
What's in a Game is distributed by Fountain City Frequency and recorded at KCUR Studios. Go check out some of the other Fountain City Frequency podcasts on the network, like our friends at First Issue Club.
Yeah, they're awesome. Also, if you have a suggestion, send them to us at whatinagame@gmail.com. We always love taking suggestions from listeners.
We do. I think that's going to do it for this week. Next week, we're going to play Paratopic by the Paratopic team.
You can find that on itch.io.
And Haunted Cities Volume 2 by our favorite Q. Kitty Horror Show.
Yeah, so it's going to be a double feature of scary lo-fi games.
Woo! See you later.
Bye.
Bye.